At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Today on The Grave Talks, the power of healing energy. A conversation with Aaron Bush. Some people don't have to necessarily go searching for spirits. Sometimes spirits just find them. Take, for example, Erin Bush. As she grew up, went off to college, she'd find herself in an infamously haunted house, things moving off shelves, strange sounds, sights. But in the end, it all just becomes part of life. Part of life that would eventually lead Erin to seek out answers and discover the powers that she held in herself to feel and use to help the living. Through the other side.
I think I've always had weird things happen to me starting from being a child, but I don't think I ever associated it with being paranormal to the last few years. But I went to Flagler College in St. Augustine, Florida. And the campus for Flagler is actually the old Ponce de Leon Hotel. So that was Henry Flagler's first hotel when he was building the railroad line down the east coast of Florida. So my freshman and sophomore year, we lived in the old hotel rooms, the dorms. So we would see a lot of things. You know, we had music coming out of closets when there's no music. Things would move. Things would get thrown. Mm-hmm. Always had a feeling of somebody looking at you. And that was in the late 90s. But then really where it started for me, I guess, was starting to watch the shows, Ghost Hunters, mm-hmm. you know, Paranormal State, and really just being absolutely fascinated with it, but completely unaware that I had any abilities myself.
Sure.
So I've spent, you know, probably, you know, 15, 20 years just really watching the stuff and trying to learn and but never actually thinking I'd have an opportunity to be involved in the community on any level. So, shocker to me the last couple of months when this all kind of came to a head.
Yeah, a lot of realizations and such.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things you always think about. And I look back on it now and I wonder, was I sort of kind of manifesting it for myself without knowing that that's what I was doing? Mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of ended up here. But yeah, that's really where it started. It was really in college. It's like, okay, there's something else here.
Yeah,
that I can't put my finger on, you know?
Prior to college, did you ever have any experiences? As you said, you kind of looked back and you realized, you know, some of these things might have been paranormal, but at the time they were dismissed in other ways and forms. Did you have anything in childhood that, you know, was you were curious about in that world or any experiences?
I remember that. It's funny, I didn't really put these two together till about a year ago. I can remember being about 6 or 7. And I remember we were... I grew up in Atlanta, so my parents and I, other kids in the family, had gone to dinner at this Mexican place. And I, up until literally about a year ago, thought I had been shocked. I walked between the restaurant and like a street sign or something, and I clearly felt buzzing. And ever since then, I think I was 6 or 7, I would not walk between a building and a post ever for any reason. But then it started happening where I noticed I picked up on the fact I was walking through an energy field was what I think has happened, because it's happened since. And now I at least can recognize it for what it's happening. Mm-hmm. But I think more on an empath level, I'm very attuned to energy. So I've always kind of known what people were thinking before they walked in a room. I could always read a room really well and kind of catch the vibe, you know. But I just thought that that was something everyone did.
Sure.
You know, my mother did it. I just assumed that happened to everyone.
Yeah, that everybody kind of has that sense.
Yeah, but as a child, it didn't really hit me as much. It really started kicking me in the tail in about 2019 when the abilities started coming through and that kind of thing. But, you know, I always also had fascinations with specific time frames. Mm-hmm. You know, Egypt, really odd fascination with the Holocaust that started in about the 3rd grade. So, you know, some people will say maybe that's tied to past lives that you had, you mm-hmm. know, things like that.
Sure.
Because it bordered on an obsession, really. And a 3rd grader should not be obsessed with something like the Holocaust.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be reading 500-page books about, you know, the Holocaust in the 3rd grade.
I agree.
There it was.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that in depth a little bit later into the conversation, because there's mm-hmm. some interesting things with that. Tell me a little bit more about the college days when, you know, you were saying, you know, things were moving around. I mean, truly things that did seem somewhat paranormal. Were you thinking it was ghostly then, or were you kind of like writing it off in your mind of, well, it could be this or that?
We knew it was ghosts. I mean, we obviously that hotel, it had been a college. It's been a college since the 60s, I believe, when they switched it out. And so there were always stories of, you know, Henry Flagler being in the building somewhere. I had a very clear experience, I think, when I was in the shower. Now, we're on the 4th floor of this old hotel, you know, so nobody can see in. Mm-hmm. But you always felt somebody was standing in there looking at you. And more than once, I would look in the mirror and there would be an image of a face. You know, a guy with like a goatee-type beard, you know, short coiffed hair. And then it would just disappear. Mm-hmm. But the weirdest thing that used to happen to us was I lived with 2 other girls in our room. We had the same class on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It was like an art history class. It was 8 a.m. No college student wants to take an 8 a.m. class. So, you know, we'd roll out of bed in our PJs, go down, have breakfast. And it would only happen on Wednesdays. We would come back from that 8 o'clock class every Wednesday. And this was in the late 90s. So you had big speaker systems, you know.
Yeah.
It would be turned on and all the way up. All the way up. And it was only Wednesdays. Happened the entire semester. Could never figure it out. No one else had access to the room. all of us were together. Nobody else came, you know, it's not like one of us came back and turned it on. Mm-hmm. And then one of the girls in our room woke up to a man sitting on the edge of her bed. So she slept with me for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you heard the story. I mean, there's, you know, that hotel in particular for historical reference is really like the summer spot for your John Jacob Astor's, your Vanderbilt's, your Rockefeller's. It was, you know, big money. That was the summer place where they went. And they did have, you know, quite a few deaths. They had, you know, Henry Flagler ended up locking one of his wives up on the fourth floor because she had apparently lost her marbles. So you'd hear things. So we knew it, but you didn't have any kind of frame of reference like we have now. You couldn't just, you know, ask somebody what their opinion was about this particular incident because it wasn't a thing really that people were exploring openly in my realm.
Sure. At that point.
So we just accepted it for what it was. But I certainly, like, if I had, my roommates were gone, I wasn't staying there by myself.
Yeah.
You know? So it was an interesting time, but it was really something. It was really kind of my first foray into, like, oh my gosh, there's definitely more here than what I'm seeing with, or, you know, what I'm using my normal five senses for.
Sure. I mean, and was it ever, was it frightening, or was it just kind of like you made peace because it's going on? It's not necessarily doing anything negative for the most part, but, you know, certainly some scary times if you're, so your roommate seeing a man at the end of her bed.
Yeah. It never, you know, I guess the shower one kind of freaked me out, but that was more of an invasion of privacy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much fear for me, I don't think, ever. But I certainly didn't want to be there by myself if there were, you know, like ghostly spirits in your room checking out while you're showering, that kind of stuff. But I don't know that it's ever actually really scared me. Mm-hmm. It sort of made sense, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, knowing what I know now, being an energetic sensitive, I should have taken stock of that kind of information back then and looked more into it. But, you know, where did you go back then? Mm-hmm. You know, the internet still wasn't fantastic then. You know, you had to wait 2 or 3 hours to get a computer in the computer lab at school. So it just was what it was. I mean, I lived there for 2 years, no problems. I mean, things would happen, but it wasn't a big deal, you know?
Have you ever gone back or wanted to go back to visit or anything of that nature?
I actually moved back to, I live in St. Augustine now. I moved back in 2009.
Okay.
And I'm downtown a ton. So Flagler is really in the heart of downtown St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. So it's been closed for COVID, but oh yeah, I bounce around back in there. Yeah. I'm downtown a lot. I love the historical side of the paranormal as well. I think for me, that's really where my interest lies, is the history of these people and how they lived, what they did. And across the street from the dorms is another one of Henry Flagler's hotel, and it's called the Leitner Museum. It was the Alcazar at the time, I think. Mm-hmm. But they, when I was in college, they had a little library. You could actually go into the library, and I would look up the history of the people that stayed in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And I think it was to kind of assign some humanness to them.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's what, I didn't realize that that's what I was doing then, but I understand that now, because I think I already had an understanding. I'd already experienced some death in my life, family and things like that. And I think you're kind of hoping that that's the case, that they're still around.
Sure.
You know? So, but I'm back there a lot.
It's interesting with old historic hotels or restaurants or things that are you know, open to the public or, you know, are being used still in some way, shape or form like that as a dorm. We oftentimes hear ghost stories and quite often they're associated with some of the famous people or notable people who have stayed there at some point in their life. It's an interesting thing because when you think of your life, you go around, you live your life. Why would you go and haunt a hotel that maybe you stayed at a few times? It's different, I get, when it's like your summer getaway. That's a different story. But if it's like, you hear it so often with like Capone or, you know, insert, you know, figure.
Insert famous mobster
exactly.
or person of interest.
And it's like, you know, he came here.
Charles Manson. Yeah,
exactly. It's like they maybe stepped in the door once. Why would you think that this is the person that's going to be at this location? But the thing is, there's this collective energy then that that kind of comes together with all these people believing this or just thinking it of, well, the person must have been here. And this is where it gets interesting because is it the spirit of these, you know, notable people? Is it the collective energy wishing that there was something like that here? Or is it just, right, you know, some sort of spirit, but they don't necessarily have to say who they are, but they'll say they're that person if that's who you want them to be today.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little of all three. I mean, St. Augustine's obviously notoriously haunted, mm-hmm, you know, who hasn't gone to the fort and the lighthouse and, you know, the old jail, which I won't set foot in anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it's interesting at Flagler because we never got anybody that self-identified. I mean, it was usually a blip, like a guy in the mirror. That was the only face I ever saw. But I wouldn't say, oh, that's Henry Flagler. I don't know who that guy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think it's kind of like Andrea Perrin always says, it's not so much that of who they are, but the fact that they exist at all.
Yeah.
Is what I think I find so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then just trying to make space for them too, because if you're going to be living with spirits, you might as well try and get to at least know them on a level where you can coexist.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but I didn't know that then.
No. You know? Well, yeah. I mean, one of the craziest concepts that I've ever, you know, had on the show, and it's one of the most simple, was at the beginning where just hearing people, you know, talking about, well, how did you get rid of this? Or how did you make peace or calm this? And it's just the simple, hey, if we're going to live here together, let's get along. Please don't scare me. And then things stop. And I thought that was one of the craziest things I ever heard. I'm like, that's all you have to do. And in many cases, that seems to be one of the most effective ways of dealing with it. It doesn't necessarily take, you know, the priest to come in with the blessing and this and that. I mean, I get in some cases, but in more than not, it's just, hey, let's coexist.
Well, and I think acknowledging that they're there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, I think it's especially like I have them in my current condo. It was built in the 80s, but the land is really old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have some wanderers that pop in and out here, you know, but I kind of come to the opinion, like, I'm a safe space for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to come here, that's fine.
Sure.
You know, and as long as they kind of let me know they're here, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. Come on in, sit on the couch, go to the kitchen, whatever you want. I feel like acknowledgement is half the battle for most people. They're just so, I think everybody's first go-to is fear, because of course now with TV, everything's a demon and everything mm-hmm. is evil, and I just don't think that that's the case.
Yeah.
Not that it doesn't exist, because it certainly does, clearly. Mm-hmm. But I think for most people, you have a spirit who's been trying to get your attention for God knows how long, and they've tried tapping you on the shoulder. They've tried, you know, smacking you in the face. They're not getting what mm-hmm. they need, which is just to be like your acknowledgement of saying, hey, I know you're here.
Yeah, just as simple.
You know?
It makes you kind of wonder, like, how the process works a little bit, too, because if we're, so many times we don't operate like the spirits were living people. We almost treat them like it's something else, or we talk to them in a different way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think if you're thinking or you're going to the mindset of it's evil, it's a demon, it shouldn't be here.
Yes.
And it's just like somebody's, you know, old grandmother that's like, no, I'm not a demon. I'm just like, no, look, I'm okay. I'm safe. And then it's like, oh my God. And it just keeps getting built up. And the living person thinks it's a demon. And you're like, I'm not a freaking demon. Eventually, even the old grandmother, I think, is going to get fed up at some point and might start messing with you. Like, okay, you think I'm a demon? I'll show you a demon.
Right.
You
know? I think that's very true. I mean, they're trying to hand you know, spirit candy or something because she's a grandma and you're just not getting it. And then, of course, the more you're freaking out about it, the more anxious energy you're putting into your space.
Mm-hmm.
So you're changing the vibration in your house, which is also going to make your spirits uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So now everybody's upset.
You know? Exactly. And it really doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I have a guy in our condo now. He's like from the 1690s. I told my husband, and he kind of looked at me and I'm like, listen, man, it's okay. He's lost.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure out where he goes and then he'll go. It's fine. He's not hurting us. He's just letting us know he's here. And that's totally fine. And he was like, okay, I can handle that. I was like, just say hello to him. Just tell him that you know he's here and it will be fine. We've heard nothing from him since.
Here's an interesting question and your opinion to get. When you have something like that from the 1690s, because so often it seems what we hear about is someone assuming they're talking to someone, you know, from the not that distant past, within the last 100 years or so, you know, give or take a bit. And then you get some of these stories where, it does go back much further. Is there an expiration on being a ghost or a spirit? Why is it that we don't have more spirits that we're identifying from a time and place much, you know, greater than the last 100 years?
I think because, you know, for so long, you know, even the spiritualism was so big in the 1800s, it was still pretty hush hush, you know, so you didn't really, mm-hmm. you talked about it in your circles and you went to seances and you did all that. But between, you know, the leaps and bounds of technology, and then also I think with people really diving into this as a field, I think now maybe you're having a resurgence of these older spirits who've just been kind of aimlessly wandering around for hundreds of years. And you find somebody like me who must glow a little bit different. They know you have sensitivities or abilities, or maybe it's an energetic read where they're like, oh, I'll try this person. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll see me. You know, it's like, I wonder if they kind of got sick of roaming around and no one's paying attention. But now you've got all these people coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
That can at least acknowledge that they're there. And maybe that's what's bringing it forward. And people are not as, you know, you have people who are obviously still fearful, but you have enough of us now in this field mm-hmm. who love it, who want to help the spirits more than the living.
Yeah.
And I think that increases their comfort level.
Could it also be that after a certain point, just as, you know, we grow as humans in our world and our atmosphere, we learn more about how things work. And, you know, when we finally get it all figured out, we die. On the other side, you know, in your, it's like kind of starting again. It's like, how does this work over here? Is it mm-hmm. just simply one of those things where, okay, after about 80 to 100 years, I think I figured this out. I'm comfortable enough. I'm going to go to the light or whatever it is that moves me out of the realm of, you know, haunting my great-grandchildren, where I'm not doing that anymore. And, you know, the next generation of ghosts come in and they just kind of move. It's like graduating. It's the next step.
Right.
I mean, is that part of it, too, why we don't see in very common forms folks of a longer time span from the past?
I think it's very possible. I also think, too, I mean, we're living in a country that's not that old.
That's true.
So you have
true.
Pockets of places who are much older. You know, St. Augustine founded in, you know, 1565. You go up northeast, places that were populated early on, I think are obviously going to have a bigger density of that mm-hmm. kind of activity, maybe.
Sure.
I don't know.
But I mean, you would have the Native American spirits and all that too, which
sure.
you know, it's, you know, I mean, obviously we don't have the answers to any of this, but it's just interesting to speculate, you know, with different people of what their thoughts are on this.
Yeah.
So in 2019, you said is kind of the year that you kind of discovered your abilities or got comfortable in that realm. Tell me about that journey. Like, how did that kind of begin for you and where did that take you?
Oh boy. Well, I was back in St. Augustine. I had a really nasty first marriage and I had done, you know, talk therapy, but hadn't really done much. And here I was in St. Augustine, you know, great job as a paralegal, married to a great guy, living in a great beach condo, but absolutely miserable. Couldn't figure it out. And my sister had been trying to get me to talk to this counselor for like 2 years. And I just wasn't ready. So I was like, okay, I got to deal with these, you know, Pandora's boxes, as I call them, and get them open and deal with this. But I wasn't ready. I didn't realize that she also had this spiritual side. So she's a licensed clinical social worker, but she also is a healer. And so in starting to speak with her and, you know, her incorporating meditation and connecting with energy and like just really opening to my eyes and what was around me. I was misdiagnosed bipolar back in 2001 or 2002. Mm-hmm. Now it does run in my family. So I've been taking medication for 20 years, but by that point it was basically causing all the symptoms it was supposed to prevent. She's like, Erin, you're not sick. She goes, you're incredibly highly sensitive to energy. That's why your personality swings all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're at Target and you pick up someone who's angry, you're going to take that home. Like, I just had no idea I was absorbing all this stuff. So I stopped taking the medication under doctor's supervision, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's when it blew open. I'm also sober. I've been sober for 6 years. And I also think I kind of tie my drinking because you go to a bar, if you're not aware that you're surrounded by all this energy, you don't know what you don't know. Right. So I'm pounding drinks. So I got sober first and then, you know, started doing this counseling with Catherine is her name, getting off the medication. And then it hit me like a freight train. I already knew I was an empath and I knew that I could sense energy, but I didn't know I could see spirit. I didn't know I could communicate. I didn't know that Reiki would end up being really my passion in life. And she suggested to me, she's like, your intuition's all over the place. She's like, I would highly recommend you take a level 1 Reiki course just so you get a better understanding of how energy works around you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love. And, you know, not having the numbing effect anymore with the medication, I was much more open to what was going on energetically with me. So learning to meditate, learning to sit still. And, you know, not too long after that, I was, you know, start to see colors, and I would see glimpses of images of people like passing real quick. Like somebody described it, like looking at two old time photo negatives together is kind of how they would appear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just dove right in. So I started, we finished the counseling portion of it for my mental health. And then I just kept working with her from the spiritual side, because at this point now I've fallen down the rabbit hole and now I can't get enough. I'm reading everything I can get my hands on. I'm getting certified in Reiki. I'm certified crystal. Like I went and got all kinds of certifications, because it only took me about 6 months to realize this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, but I was also working in a law office, very busy, sure. Overwhelming. And so last summer I quit.
Okay.
I decided to have enough. Talked about opening an energy healing business, but really didn't have the nerve to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm kind of all over the place, so I apologize. But when COVID started, I had just gotten my Reiki certification. Well, there goes your in-person sessions. You can't do that. So I basically took all of COVID's time to basically volunteer. And I think I did 400 sessions of Reiki for free just to really learn it and understand it and decide what I was supposed to be doing with it. What's my gift to help people heal?
Mm-hmm.
And then I opened the business back in the fall. So I just fell into it in 2019 and it just blew the door open. And my life has changed so much since last summer. I can't even explain it, but it's like, once I stopped fighting my own life and just starting to fall in love and do and go after the things I actually wanted to do, everything just fell into place for me.
Tell me about like how you had that realization where it's like, okay, this is what I'm meant to be doing. Was there a moment? Was it kind of just a slow build? What was it for you where you're like, okay, this is it. I know.
It was kind of a slow build. I think I've always been a person who, always worked really hard. So I always felt like I had to have a really hard, difficult job that kind of garner my worth. Right. So I was doing that, but then I was also doing Reiki sessions, and I started realizing when I looked, the law was making me absolutely miserable, stressed out mess. But when I worked with people with energy, I just lit up inside. But it was kind of that battle of, your rational, irrational mind, like, okay, I love this stuff, but is it the smart thing to do to quit your job in the middle of a pandemic to go after it?
Mm-hmm.
So it took probably, I don't know, a year to get the nerve to quit the law job to see what the universe had in mind. And it hasn't led me wrong yet. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you. It's like talking, in the scene in Titanic where Jack is on the boat and he's having that nice dinner. He's like, I was slumming, playing poker in the bottom of the ship. And now I'm up here in the finest ship of the world eating dinner with you fine people. It's one of those moments. Just like, yeah. How did my life change so much in a couple of months?
I always love being referred to as the Titanic.
But you're the people on the Titanic.
Yes. No, I get it's it's funny because I have a Titanic tie in here in a little bit when we get to something else I want to talk about. But tell me a little bit more about the Reiki healing. And for the audience that doesn't really necessarily know a whole lot about it, obviously, you could go on for days trying to explain and understand this. But in a nutshell, if you can. What are, some of the points of it, and what have you discovered in it that, the gift that you're giving to others through it?
Reiki is basically a Japanese form of energy healing. So it's its own healing modality. So it falls under alternative medicine. And basically a lot of people use hands-on healing. I hover, but basically you're channeling source energy. Now, if we understand source energy is what everything is made up of, me, you, the dog, the trees, the ocean, it's all tied together as one source of energy is how I have kind of come to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So that links us all together, right? So if I'm able to channel that, I'm basically just a conduit, right? I'm sort of the battery that it just runs through.
Uh-huh.
And that energy is able to help people clear out energetic blockages that may be making them depressed or cause physical pain. it's really a way to clear people's energy fields out, align their seven main chakras that run up, you know, from the top of your head to the base of your spine, and clear the negative built up old energy out so that you can pull in beautiful, clean, clear energy. So I've learned a lot with it. I have learned that in the world we live in, starting at a very young age, we give our power away to everyone. So doctors, medication. So those are the only two things that can fix what's wrong with you, right? So modern medicine deals with the body and the mind, but who treats the soul, mm-hmm. right? So I feel like with Reiki, Reiki allows people to contact or connect with those parts of themselves that's deeper in that they may not even be aware of is there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of chronic pain is tied into emotional trauma, unreleased emotions, things like that, because thoughts are things. Energy is a thing. And sure. So, you know, if you're not able to release that energy or release those traumas that you've suffered, you're just going to stay stagnant. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a beautiful way to really allow people to clear out and sort of like energetically reset. And whether it's from an emotional standpoint, if it's that side of it, I do the Reiki, but I also do spiritual guidance. So like helping people start their path using some of the same stuff that I learned, but then also for people that suffer with chronic pain, I've been down that road. I had endometriosis for years. So I really can connect with people on a pain level. And so, you know, it's getting your client involved, explaining to them how energy works and explaining to them that if you just take your own power back and embrace your body already knows how to heal itself. It's innate. It's what it does. But because we are in a society where we've been taught by our parents and their parents, the parents, it goes back and back and back, that only doctors and medication can fix it. So we've already given our power away. Mm-hmm. But once people start taking it back, the changes in them is absolutely astounding. Because it's like you explain to people how energy works and a light bulb goes off. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh God, I get it. You know, so once you start getting people to sort of understand that, because a lot of people come in saying, this is woo-woo. I don't know about this. And I'm sure. Like, I get it. Totally get it. Mm-hmm. But by the second or third session, you know, they've got shifts happening already. They're feeling better. They're sleeping better. They're not as anxious in certain situations. It kind of dawns on them that there's something to this. While it may not be something that they can see, clearly there's power to it.
Yeah.
So I look at it as it's my opportunity to give back what was given to me. So that people can, they don't have to go down the crazy rabbit hole I've gone down, because I'm still going down it. But I just want people to be their best, happiest selves, and that they don't have to always take a ton of medications to do that. Now, I'm not saying it's in place of anything. You're starting to get a lot of Reiki in cancer hospitals. They're starting to bring in Reiki practitioners to help cancer patients because it can help with pain, obviously anxiety, stress levels, things like that. But it's not widely practiced and not widely accepted at this point. Yet.
Yeah.
But I think we're heading there because I think people are desperate for something else. They're sick of taking pain meds and not getting any better and then just having to up their meds or add another med. They're looking for something different. And Reiki gives them that.
I'm certainly hearing the concept being thrown out in much more frequency over the last year or two than I have over the last 10 years. Sure. Is Reiki something that involves... Now, obviously, you know, there's Reiki healers and things of that nature that, sure. that help directly. But is it something that one can practice with themselves and heal themselves? Or is this something that always does require an outside source of energy to truly do it? It's at its best.
I think anyone can channel it. You've been in this community for a really long time. Everyone has abilities to some degree. Some of us may be more finely tuned.
Yeah.
It's just accepting it, right? And understanding that it does have power.
Yeah.
So I think anyone can do it. Now, we're specifically trained and attuned for symbols. Certain symbols direct energy a different way. They stand for different things. But truly, anyone can do this kind of work. I mean, if you look at Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. She went a Reiki master. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the most widely accepted books for natural medicine, you know, medicine for lack of a better phrase, that people will that I tell every client I have, you need to read this book because so much of what we're doing is getting people to focus on intent.
Uh-huh.
And that their thoughts are things. And so, you know, the more positivity and the more good stuff you put in the universe, it's going to come back. Karma gets kind of screwy because now that's all based on revenge. But, you know, obviously the true definition of karma is basically what you put in the universe can get back to you. That's it. That's how it works. It's simple. But I think anyone can do it. And I tell people that all the time. I'm like, my goal is to at least get your body kickstarted, you know, to let it remember that it knows how to do this, to teach you the basics. But you shouldn't have to stick with me forever. I just want to give you some of the tools so you can experience it for yourself and learn on your own. So I fully support people learning it, you know, learning, at least understanding the basis of what it is and how it works, because it's an energy that's available to literally everybody. Some people just need a little kickstart because they don't know what, I didn't know what any of this stuff was 3 years ago.
Sure.
And so you just need someone to point you in the right direction.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's something I'm wanting to learn more about once we have that eighth day of the week.
Right. Yes. That mysterious eighth day of the week.
Yes.
I heard we've all been looking for forever.
When they keep the daylight savings or get rid of daylight savings or whatever they're going to do, an eighth day is also going to be coming into play. So I'm looking forward to using that very much. That's going to wrap up part one of our conversation with Erin Bush. A big thank you to her for joining us on the program. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.